Morning. I have known Carson for a long, long time, and it has been so fun to welcome him into this house as he has become part of us here, part of our youth leadership here, part of this youth camp. And I know that our group certainly admires him, and I know a lot of you do too. So come on up, Carson.
Good morning. Okay. Everyone have fun LARPing?
Yeah.
A lot of hard work and hours put into that. Okay. I just want to start by saying thank you to you guys for having me, of course. Thank you for Trish to trust me to speak this year at camp. A little hesitated at first, but I'm here now. So as you could maybe guess, this is my first message I've ever really given. I taught Sunday school a couple weeks ago. That was only about five kids and Becca sitting in the room. And I was pretty nervous then, and I was sweating then. I'm sweating a little bit now, but that might be just from outside. So we'll see how this goes. So just bear with me. Let me know if I'm yapping or if I'm just the dots aren't connecting or anything. So with this being my first message, I've had a lot of time sitting where you guys are, different places, different preachers talking, and my big thing is I really like to be able to like connect with the speaker of some way, some sort. I know as a younger person, sometimes that's hard, because sometimes maybe as an older person, you have nothing in common with them. So I just want to start off today, just get a brief introduction to myself, maybe a little bit more in depth than what Trish said. And just so maybe you guys can like make that connection with me, and maybe everything will like maybe hit a little bit deeper or whatever later on. So again, my name is Carson Stoller. I'm 21. I just graduated college. Currently in limbo with like the next chapter of my life, looking for jobs and everything like that. Just you know, being an adult, kind of it's a little different. So getting used to all that. And then of course, I grew up in this town. I was always active in the community. I was active in my old church and this church now. I played sports when I was younger. And then when I was in high school, you know, thought you knew what you're going to do with my life. I had specific interests, and I thought I knew what I wanted to do. I knew where I wanted to live. And college changes that. So, you know, my interests have changed. My perspectives have changed. And then, of course, as you've heard multiple times now, I'm newly engaged. So, obviously, that's a big part of my life. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so that's just hopefully you guys kind of can connect in some point, get to know me a little bit better, and something is going to kind of come back into play later. So let's just move into the message. Our main excerpt this morning is from Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to put it up in a second maybe, but before we read, I like to also have like background and context to what we know, like what's happening, because I don't want to like read maybe 40 like verses. That's kind of just a lot for me to read. So I'm just going to give you a little background on what's happening. This is the story of Daniel in the lion's den, so you may know it. You probably have heard it. I might have a different like maybe perspective of what's going to happen here, but just so you know, King Darius is the current king, and he likes Daniel a lot. Daniel was one of the administrators in King Darius's rule, so he's kind of high up, maybe like one of the top people up there. And he, at this time, he was gaining power and authority and attraction just by King Darius and the other people. And so the other men, the other administrators, the other governors, whatever you want to call them in the government, they didn't really like how how Daniel was gaining power. And they were kind of jealous of him. They were just seeing how he didn't like how he was like moving up, and they maybe weren't. So in an attempt to stop Daniel, they made a law that anyone who prays or worships God, or anyone besides really King Darius, if you don't worship King Darius, you get thrown into a lion's den. That's kind of crazy. That's a very cool and unusual punishment, I'd say. But just so you like just understand, these people in power, besides Daniel, obviously, they couldn't find anything else on Daniel besides that he loved and prayed to God every single day. That's what he did. They couldn't find anything else to say bad about him. So, like, you know, I was just reading, I'm like, wow, like, just imagine your life and, like, no, like, every person, they couldn't say anything bad about you besides that you worship God. I'm like, that'd be kind of amazing. I feel like we just all like could say that. And then like, that's a problem I wish I would have, but no one's perfect. But now of course, Daniel continued to pray for God three times a day. He'd open his window. He'd pray right after Jerusalem. He'd look out so everyone could see him. So I'm no expert, but I would say he's not really hiding his love for God in any way. I'd say that he knows that that law is created, and I would say he cares more about his connection with God than any law. So now let's get into it. It's going to start at Daniel 6:13. I didn't write it down, so I'm going to read. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him, because he liked him a lot. And then the men went as a group to the king and said to them, remember, O king, that according to the law of Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. And then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep, kind of like all of us this week. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he came called into Daniel in his anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in God. Okay. So that last part where it says he was found to be, another version, it says he was found to be unharmed for he trusted in God is kind of what we're going to focus on today. Kind of trusting in God and his timing. So that's going to be the kind of the main part. So if we quickly recall from the passage, it doesn't really go into great detail of what Daniel was feeling in that moment. They didn't really say anything about like how he was feeling, what he was like thinking before he was about to jump in the lion's den, or not get thrown in the lion's den. The only emotion they said was maybe King Darius was feeling distraught for Daniel because, you know, he liked him a lot, so he was gonna he didn't want to do this to him. So I just paused. I was like, if I was about to be thrown into a lion's den for doing nothing wrong, I would have a lot of emotions going through me. I'm already a pretty emotional person, if some of you may know, some of you may not, but cry kind of pretty easily and all that stuff. My mom cries, I cry, I don't know why. That's just how it is. I don't know. And so I'm pretty emotional. So I was thinking, I'm like, Brandon Pierce, how would you feel if you were about to be thrown into a lion's den or a snake pit or something? Not cool. Okay. Let's do Wade. Wade, how would you feel? Not good. Okay. Trish, how would you feel?
I think I'd be pretty fearful.
Fearful? Okay. Yeah. So I wrote down, I'd be pretty scared. I'd be pretty anxious. Kind of fearful of the unknown, of like what's about to happen. Might be angry with God. If you're in this situation, exactly. Should have paid attention in science class, I guess, for me, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that one. But I would, like, maybe even be upset for, like, my loved ones, be like, because, like, obviously they're going to be going through something if I die in this lion's den or whatever it is. So a lot of emotions would be kind of inside of me. And so then when I reflected on Daniel lion's den again, I related to some personal situations in my life hopefully you guys can relate or connect in some way of like being scared, anxious, fearful of the unknown. Hopefully it doesn't involve a lion's den or a snake bit of any sort, of course. But a situation that is scary and you have like fear of the unknown comes into play a lot. I can name a bunch throughout my life, but instead of situation, because that's kind of a very like specific term, let's use the word season. Pastor Lisa, she preaches on seasons a lot. She might define seasons a little different, but I kind of define it in the way of just a period of time in life, maybe a few days, a few years, a few months. It can be as small as a specific situation, but it can be as large as a few months of your life, so maybe a semester in school, a year in school, a new part of your life. And now I kind of want to rephrase the question of, have you all had a season where there was a lot of anxiety surrounding it or fear because you don't know what's going to happen in this season or the next? So then maybe in this chapter of your life or the next. So I'm going to give kind of some examples. I can say like my current season, as I said, I'm kind of in limbo in my life in a way. Like I'm going to be an adult officially, I guess. I don't know, however you want to define that. And so I'm kind of scared of what's going to happen next in my life. Like me and Brittany have conversations all the time where it's like I don't know what's going to happen. And it's like, I don't know where I'm going to be kind of. Like, I don't know what I want to do exactly in the long term, like with like jobs and everything like that. So this last year, kind of like applying to jobs and all that good stuff, not good stuff, bad stuff. It's full of anxiety and stress for me. And then I thought of other situations that you guys might be going through that might be very similar. So like I know some of you are graduating high school right now. You're moving on to college, you're going to the military, maybe you're just going straight to the workforce. That's nerve-wracking because you don't know what's about to happen. That's just a whole new chapter in your life that in your eyes you don't know what's about to happen. Maybe you're going to be a freshman in high school, maybe you just like got done middle school, and now you're not sure what to expect with the new school, new teachers, maybe new people, new friends. That's a lot of emotions going through you. That's a hard part of your life. Maybe you're joining a new sports team, or you're a new friend group, or maybe a new church, and you're just not sure what's going to kind of happen in the next couple months or so, maybe. And then for our adults in the room, obviously you guys go through challenges. You have different seasons. Maybe you're changing jobs. Maybe you're trying to make your own company. Maybe you're about to become a parent or a grandparent for some of us in the room. Maybe you're tackling a personal challenge in your life that maybe it's just in your household. And even for the campers, like maybe in your household, maybe you're having something going on and it's a new season, it's like change is coming for some sort. And that's just scary because in that moment, you don't know what's about to happen. You are kind of just lost almost in that time. So then the real question is, what do you do about this fear of the unknown? What do you do about this scared feeling? And then my short answer, and I hope this hits home, is to trust in God. So let's quickly go back to Daniel 6:23, that last verse. And it just says, And it says, when Daniel was brought up from the den, maybe you can say whenever he like was finished his season in life, he was found to be unharmed, for he trusted in his God. That's a lot. Daniel trusted even when he was in a den with a wild lion, which is crazy. And because I'm just up here trying to find a job, like that's a big difference. And God provided for a wild lion, so you know he's going to provide for maybe the smaller things in life. But as I said, kind of this past semester and year, I was going through a lot of stress. It's kind of getting to me. I actually got a job offer for a job about 3 hours away and back in the winter, but vibes were off. People were kind of a little weird. Job was fine. But so I turned it down, and then as I was very anxious and stressed about just finding another opportunity, I reflected, and I was just like, and I prayed, and I said, God, I know you have a plan for my life, and I trust you, and I trust in you, and I know your timing will be perfect. I know that he will find something, and he will put me in a situation that it will all work out, because I know he has a plan. So I believe this prayer kind of was like I just got to get a weight lifted off my shoulders, God to just take a breath in my life kind of thing. And then that just helped with understanding that something will happen and something will happen in the right time. So let's look at a couple other scriptures about trusting his timing in the best situation. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, I think I said that right. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Okay, and then the next one is Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So, I don't know why, but sometimes when I read the Bible, I just feel like I like have maybe different interpretations of, I try to think of it differently. Maybe it's just trying to connect to my life, so it's, again, easier to connect. But these verses like help me to understand that, like, since we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as we said in Psalms 139:14 that Clint kind of talked about last night briefly, his timing is wonderfully made and planned as well. And I think that's kind of like good. And then I can connect back to Morgan and Beth talking about waiting yesterday. I'm really trying to tie in everything because I think it does work well together. Waiting. And then in Galatians 6:9, he says, do not give up. Like, do not stop doing good. So I think in that waiting time where you know that you're trusting in God and you know that and you're confident in him, and you know that he will provide at some point. But in that waiting time, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop being good to others. Don't stop inviting others to youth group, inviting others to camp. Continue to do that good, and he will always provide at the end. So going deeper into his timing, his timing is made appropriate, and it's set by him for each and every one of you. So there's no reason to compare yourselves. There's no reason to compare your timelines to someone else. Maybe you're the same age, but that doesn't mean your timeline with God is the same. And then, because in this season that you're currently in, the other person is not also in. So your seasons are going to be different, so your timeline's going to be different. I had a real bad trouble of comparing myself to my peers, attaining jobs or like internships right now. And it's like, and I'm still not. LinkedIn a lot, and everyone's posting like, oh, I got a job. And I'm like, man, that stinks for me. But not for them. Yeah, congratulations. But and then there's no reason to compare yourselves against other people's lives or other people's successes because you're against your own, because God is still moving in you and your life. Said a lot that our God is a good father. Again, no expert, but I would maybe go say he's a great father. But this great father of ours, he only wants the best for us and to forward his beautiful kingdom of heaven. But, of course, and we said before, I think maybe Pastor Lisa or someone preached on this recently, but it was like you still have to make those decisions in your life to get there. Because he has a plan. As we say a lot, it's like he knows the end before even the beginning. But then there's a lot of decisions along the way where you have to be the person to make those decisions. So in those troubled times of fear, anxiety, jealousy, just trust in him and just know that you won't be unharmed and made whole, and you'll be made whole, just like Daniel in the lion's den. So I believe he has a beautiful and unique plan for each and every one of you, just like Clint was kind of saying a little bit, everyone has a unique plan, and to go out and love others and spread the goodness of God. But in those rougher seasons, all he asks from you is to trust in his beautiful plan for you, and again, he knows the end before even the beginning. So on top of his overall plan, I believe he wants you to trust in his timing, as I kind of said. And it will be clear at some point, because he may do something in your life right now, and maybe you just don't know. Maybe it's something that's not a camp. Maybe next week, next month, next year, he may do something in your life. But you just may not know. You're like, oh, like you may not know it's God. You just thought maybe something good. But then at some point, you're going to realize, you're going to look back, you're like, man, God did that. He did that for my life. He did that in that moment when I didn't think maybe I needed it, but he showed up, and he was evident in that moment. And God's timing is always perfect in your life, but I think a lot, it's like, in our eyes that we're like in on earth, it's not always going to seem perfect, because you may be going through stuff, but maybe he did something that you just didn't notice. But then later on, you realize, like, I needed that in that moment. And that's what I needed to keep moving, keep going, keep trusting. And so that just may not seem perfect, but it is. And that's just how you, that's just trust him in that aspect. So kind of going to, before I wrap up, I can just say in my life, currently, I know that God is moving. I know there are things happening that I'm thankful for. And so I know that. I know that's happening in my life, so I know it's going to happen in your life. I know he's going to be moving. He's always moving. That's just how God works. And even when you know he's not, when you don't think he's moving, he is always moving in your life. And just trust in that. So I'm just going to wrap up with this last thought and verse. So in 1 Peter, Peter identifies himself as an apostle. We know he's the betrayer, but also the beloved. He's writing to encourage suffering believers in Asia Minor, which is current-day Turkey, to stand firm in Christ in the midst of persecution, which is like hostility or ill treatment. They're just not treating him right, or treating the Christians right. So the end of 1 Peter in chapter 5, he writes a conclusion for his readers. So this is the last thing. Raise your hand if you ever wrote a conclusion in one of those five-paragraph essays. Yeah, yeah. Don't talk to Brittany about that. She hates those essays. She thinks that's the worst essay you can write. We had a rant about that the other day. But, so, nonetheless, Peter in chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And with that, I will just finish by saying, in those hard times, take a breath, pray. Pray a prayer that says just, I trust in you, and just continue to trust in God and his perfect timing. And remember that it may not always seem perfect at first in the moment, but on your timeline, but on his timeline, it is perfect in that time. And that is why he's always there for you. And thank you.
Awesome. Okay. All right. So we are going to get ready.